Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking today about education matters, and in particular, our guest is Dr. Calvin Dickinson, Emeritus Professor of History at Tennessee Tech University, and we're going to be talking about some educational matters relating to the Civil War. So we're going to go back in time here in the Upper Cumberland, about 150 years, and do a little bit of discussion about things. Calvin, tell us about your background. Just introduce yourself to our listeners.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I've been here in Cookeville for over 40 years now, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. I was born in East Texas. Now, the East is what you emphasize because Texas is so big that the five different sections of Texas are very different. I'm from East Texas. East Texas is southern. It's just like Louisiana and Mississippi and Florida. It's a southern area, and it's not the cowboy hats and the boots and so forth and so on that you see on the movies. I was first introduced into history in the history department of Baylor University, and I discovered that my professor's name was Jefferson Davis Bragg.
Wow.
Of course, that name turned out to be one of the big names in the Civil War, and turns out that Dr. Bragg at Baylor was the grandson of General Bragg.
Wow.
In the Civil War time.
And we'll probably talk about General Bragg a little bit today.
We will do that.
He came through the Upper Cumberland.
He did. In fact, he was the biggest thing to happen in the Upper Cumberland when he came through. But he didn't give us any secrets about the Civil War, why he didn't do better.
Well, you've taught history at Tennessee Tech for many, many years, and not just Civil War history. I know you've touched on that, but many other types too. But Tennessee is, a lot of people don't understand how rich the history is here in terms of actions in the Civil War. But Chickamauga and Shiloh and Stones River and Fort Donelson and Fort Henry and the Battle of Franklin, Nashville, Chattanooga, there just were activities all over the middle and western part of the state, but not so much big army activities here in the Upper Cumberland. So tell us a little bit about how the Civil War touched the Upper Cumberland.
The Upper Cumberland was the sort of the backwaters of the Civil War. The territory that makes up the Upper Cumberland was really too rough for big troop movements, and the resources of the Upper Cumberland were not rich enough to spend a lot of manpower and money on them. So the Upper Cumberland region, in a way, sort of drifted along in the backwaters of the Civil War. However, the Upper Cumberland had a particularly nasty area of the Civil War. It was mostly small arms, and it was guerrilla kind of activities. And there was a lot of misery and a lot of death in the Upper Cumberland region during the Civil War for this reason.
And it was sort of a house divided, wasn't it?
It really was.
Yeah, a lot of people on both sides.
And the region where we are now, the Upper Cumberland, Cookeville, Sparta, and so forth, that was a dividing line between the Confederacy and the Union. And on the east side of Cookeville and Putnam County, it was mostly the Union sympathizers. On the west side of Cookeville and Putnam County, it was mostly Confederate sympathizers. So we're sitting, in a sense, right on the line between the Union and the Confederacy. And that made it particularly difficult for the people in this region, because you never knew one night or one day what who might show up and what they might have in store for you. So we were the dividing line between the Union and the Confederacy. And even families in the Upper Cumberland were split. And that was also true in other places, but particularly true in the Upper Cumberland. There was one family named the McDowells, who lived in White County up on the top of the plateau. There was a father, McDowell, there were two sons and there were two daughters. And during the Civil War, these two sons split. It wasn't, well, I won't go into why they split. But anyway, one of the sons joined the Confederacy, and another son aided the Union. And one of the daughters said, please get on one side. We don't want you shooting at each other. And they didn't, as it turned out. The two boys did not shoot at each other. They were careful about that. So we had the very basic family split in the Upper Cumberland. And then we had the regional split, too, with people, some people choosing one side and some people choosing the other side.
So there's a lot going on around here. And as you say, it was rural. The roads weren't good. There wasn't, at least in what we now call Putnam County, there wasn't a lot of water activity. Now, Cumberland River and Jackson County, they had some water activity in the Civil War, too. So a lot of things going on. But what were some of the local personalities? I know a name like Champ Ferguson comes up every now and then.
Champ does come up, but we're going to leave him out for a while and
look at
others that maybe were more important, but maybe you never heard of them. The first general to operate in the Upper Cumberland was General Zollicoffer.
I do remember reading about General Zollicoffer.
And that's an unusual name, certainly for Tennessee. But Zollicoffer was well known in Nashville. He was a sort of a hero in Nashville, even when the war started. Unfortunately for him, he was killed in the first major battle in this region. He was killed in the Battle of Mill Springs in 1862. And one of the most interesting things about his life was the way he was treated after death. His body was taken back to Nashville, and he received a parade of death all down the main street of Nashville. He was a hero come home. He was dead, and he was a hero to the Nashville population. But best we can tell, he wouldn't have done too well as a general if he had survived.
There was a Camp Zollicoffer up in Overton County, wasn't there?
That's right. It was a sort of a recruitment camp and a training camp, and you can still they'll still show you the spot where Camp Zollicoffer was in Overton County. A much more substantial person was General Albert Sidney Johnston. General Johnston was from Texas, and he was one of the foremost military leaders of that particular time, and he had charge of the Army of Tennessee in the beginning of the war, 1862. Unfortunately, like General Zollicoffer, General Johnston died in 1862.
In Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah, Battle of Shiloh. And he was the leader of the Army in the Battle of Shiloh. And the Confederates were doing pretty well until they discovered that General Johnston was dying. His boot was full of blood, and he wasn't going to survive that. So General Johnston is the main casualty of the early part of the war. It's the Battle of Shiloh, where he died. Another Confederate who is well known was General Nathan Bedford Forrest, but Forrest was not a leader of large armies. Forrest was more or less what we might call a raider. He used smaller groups. He was struck like, he was sort of like a tank corps would be in modern armies. He would have a lightning strike, and then he would.
And he led cavalry.
He led cavalry, and the cavalry was the tanks of that particular time. And so he was a man who was in and out, and he didn't really have a ultimate effect on the war, but he certainly had some dramatic effect. The other really big Confederate commander who operated, he passed through Tennessee. He operated in Tennessee was General Bragg, whom I have mentioned a while ago. General Bragg was from North Carolina, and he was commander of the Army of Tennessee. And his first move in 1863 was just wonderful. It was almost miraculous. he won the Battle of Chickamauga down in the Chattanooga area. Battle of Chickamauga, and it looked like then the Confederates were just going to march to victory, but he flubbed the retreat after the battle.
Yeah, he didn't follow up very well in Chattanooga when they That's went right. back to Chattanooga.
He won the battle, but he didn't win the aftermath of the battle. Some leaders who were not quite so spectacular, we could talk about Bragg a long time, but we'll move on. We'll move on to somebody else. Was General George Dibrell. Now, Dibrell was a Tennessean. He was from a white county, Sparta. He owned a lot of land around Sparta, and he operated during the war mainly around Sparta.
And he's buried in Sparta, I believe,
buried in Sparta. And that's one of the reasons that he was so successful. He knew the land. And one of the first lessons you learn in military is the one who's familiar with the landscape is very likely to win. And so one of Dibrell's significant things about Dibrell was he was fighting in his own backyard. And so he won some battles in White County against the Union. Another man who was Tennessean is Colonel Stokes. Colonel Stokes lived in Alexandria, and he joined the U.S. Army rather than the Confederates. So he and Dibrell were different in choosing the different sides. And Stokes was actually raised up in command and was given command, but his main significant action were controlling Sparta. Sparta, as you said a while ago, Sparta was an important place. Gainesboro was an important place, mainly because they were water ports and they had roads and so forth and so on. And so Stokes was not really a great commander, but he was able to maintain the security in Sparta. Now, down to the two dark characters who we have to mention as leaders.
But they're always our dark characters.
Yeah, they were the kind of leaders we'd just as soon not talk about. Yeah.
Well, this is Local Matters. We're talking to Dr. Calvin Dickinson about the Civil War. And Calvin, let's keep talking about those dark characters.
All right. We've got one on each side. Champ Ferguson is the Confederate. Well, some people call him a hero. Some people call him a scoundrel. Tinker Dave Beatty played the same part on the Union side. And these men were both mostly small-time leaders of small groups. They didn't command big armies. They sometimes joined big armies like Ferguson did, and they aided big armies, but they themselves were just leaders of small groups, 20, 30, or 40 soldiers.
But they operated here in the Upper Cumberland.
Their home was the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah. Jamestown to Sparta and all areas in between.
Ferguson did get up to Southern Virginia one time, but that's about as far as either one of them went. And Tinker Dave Beatty, who lived in Overton County, basically was just protected his home there in Overton. He didn't get out much at all. So they were rebel leaders, Count Ferguson and Tinker Dave Beatty. Ferguson was captured. He surrendered, actually. He surrendered toward the end of the war, and he was executed in Nashville. But he's buried, as Bob said a while ago, he's buried between Sparta and
Crossville.
In the Upper Cumberland. And a lot of people visit his graves.
I've been out there with you and Dr. Birdwell, I think, from Tech.
Actually, yes, that's true. We've been there several times, as a matter of fact.
We are going to take a quick break. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Dr. Calvin Dickinson from Tennessee Tech University, Emeritus Professor of History, and we'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. This is Bob Bell, and we are talking to Dr. Calvin Dickinson from Tennessee Tech University about the Civil War in the Upper Cumberland. And Cal, just as we took the break, you were talking about the winners get the spoils, and I always heard an expression in history that history is written by the winners and not by the losers.
Exactly.
That's why when you read Lost Cause kinds of imagery of the Civil War, it's a quite different perspective on the South and even on Tennessee than we get here. Well, you mentioned Champ Ferguson and General Dibrell and some others. Ferguson is buried near Sparta. But again, he and Tinker Dave were both pretty tough people, but one of them came out a winner and one of them got executed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's just the way wars are. And America's wars so far have all looked pretty good from our viewpoint because we've won them.
Yeah.
And so we ride them the way we want to. And the Germans, the Japanese, and other people who have lost wars against us, they don't look so good in the history books, and most of us think they should not look so
yeah.
good.
But so you read a history book from their perspective, and it's got a quite different perception of that war.
I've always heard that it would be interesting, and I've never had a chance to read a Russian history book of, say, World War II.
Yeah,
and you get a very different perspective, even though we're on the same side.
Yeah,
you get a very different perspective.
Well,
on
and
it.
They lost a lot more people than we
All
did in the
did.
War, and it was a bloody thing over there. Well, speaking of bloody things, Gainesboro here in Jackson County had its own little incidents during the war too, and it was a port. It was a part of the Cumberland River watershed, and General Grant wanted that riverway so he could bring steamboats down. Tell us about Jackson County.
Well, Jackson County was a sort of a headquarters for this region as far as the Confederacy was concerned, because they had the implementations that military force needed. They had a big river, and the river was stable. It was always big, and it could provide transport for a lot of men, a lot of animals, a lot of materials, and so forth and so on. And so Gainesboro, because of its river connections, was one of the main areas of importance in this region. And Gainesboro also had some road connection, has better road connections than a lot of areas around here. But there were just very few roads in this region during the Civil War. They were not in good shape. But Gainesboro had a better road situation and river situation than most of the other areas. Also, you could get across the river in one or two places, and so that was important too.
And General Grant sent gunships up here to try to secure it, but they had snipers shooting at them a lot, and that sort of made them mad, didn't it?
Yeah. The banks of the Cumberland River are very steep in a lot of places. So these snipers would get up on the high banks of the Cumberland River, and they would take pot shots at the U.S. Army boats going up and down the river. And that was more or less a shooting gallery, like a carnival shooting gallery for these snipers, because they weren't going to get hit by anybody on the boat, but yet they were going to pick off a lot of Union soldiers on the boats going up and down the river.
So there was a little community in north of Gainesboro, almost part of Gainesboro, almost a suburb we'd call it today, called Old Columbus or Old Columbia. And the Union Army sort of took out their wrath on that little community, didn't they?
They did. There had been too many snipers around Columbus. And so the U.S. Army decided that they were going to destroy the whole town, which they did. And now you see a few buildings there, but the buildings are usually factories that are 20th century.
There's almost nothing left.
Because it was burned to the ground.
Yep.
By the U.S. Army.
And as I understand it, he arrested the captain of the cavalry that went ashore, arrested the men and took them to the stockade in Nashville and sent the women to Gainesboro.
Yeah. And another city in Tennessee and the Upper Cumberland region that suffered was Salina, which is also close to the river.
Right.
And the Salina was taking pot shots, and the U.S. Army said they were going to have to do something about Salina. And they said, just as a matter of fact, Salina has the ugliest women that we've seen around it. So we're going to get rid of those ugly women as well as the pot shots that they're taking.
Wow. Well, it was a bitter war, and I know it didn't end at the signing of the surrender in Appomattox in some cases.
Matter of fact, you could make a case that the Civil War is still with us. Occasionally we even shoot each other.
Yeah.
But the Civil War is with us in a lot of ways. The hatred created by the Civil War has not been diminished. Hatred is still there. The racism is still there. And only God knows when things will debate.
And there are remnants that people can still see. They can visit some of the, there's a pistol in the museum in Sparta. I think it was General Dibrell's pistol. And the graves of Champ Ferguson and others are there. There's a historic marker in Whitleyville where General Bragg brought his army, or at least that division of his army, up through Jackson County when he was invading Kentucky. So there was a lot of activity that you can still see a bit of a remnant of even today.
And just as a footnote, Bragg's army was the biggest military movement through Tennessee during the whole Civil War. And he was just trying to get through Tennessee, and yet it made a lot of impression on Tennesseans who were peeking out and watching these thousands of soldiers headed north.
There's a historic marker in Whitleyville where you can look out on this plain that's near the creek there, and you can just sort of imagine 10,000 soldiers camped out there overnight.
It had to be an amazing sight, because these people living, they normally didn't see more than 10 or 15 people in a group. Well, here are thousands of soldiers marching around, and what an impression that had to make.
And again, they were simply trying to get through Tennessee so he could invade Kentucky and get General Grant out of Mississippi at the time. But it's amazing how those military actions sometimes take place right here in our own little community.
And sometimes, one more word about Bragg. Sometimes we like to talk about, well, what if Bragg had not been in command of the Army of Tennessee? What if some other general, would they have done any better? Because Bragg had some real problems. He had some personality problems. He had some problems with military thinking and so forth and so on. And we'll never know if the Confederacy would have done better under some other general than they did under
Bragg. Yeah, there are so many what-ifs in the Civil War.
Exactly.
That are just fun. You mentioned General Johnson, and President Davis didn't like him much.
Right.
And if they'd been on better relations, there could have been things that it could have gone on differently. So maybe sometime we'll come back and talk about that too.
But, okay.
It's been fun to do just a little bit of a tour of the Upper Cumberland in Civil War times here with you today. Our guest has been Dr. Calvin Dickinson, Emeritus Professor of History at Tennessee Tech, and we've been talking about the Civil War. Calvin, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. I always love to talk, and Civil War is one of my favorite topics.
Well, it's a... It's
As
a,
I know it is yours.
It's a wonderful topic to talk about. It
right.
is. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.